Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is a Getaway Friday, Friday, July 27th, the last Friday in July. Can you believe it? Oh, where is the summer going? 17 minutes past the hour, you're tuned into the Now program here on WWGH Radio, and we have got a great guest to kick off the morning this morning. But want to do a little bit of housekeeping here to keep you, the listening audience, informed of what's going to be going on. Now, something big might be going on next week, next Thursday. I think we have confirmed that all up this morning, but I don't want to announce it until I get absolute confirmation. So, if you listen today, we might have absolute confirmation by 12 o'clock. So stay tuned, WWGH Radio, something coming up next Thursday, big. You won't want to miss that. Now, something of importance I can tell you about is that WWGH reports my interview with the Marion Prison Choir. It was a very interesting experience. I was permitted to go in there Wednesday and interview the choir director, Catherine Roma, the prisoners, and the choir, which is made up of the inmates. I just hope you listen to it. I don't have the words to express exactly what happened, but I think it's important to listen to this. We do have the air dates now. It will air next Friday, a week from today, August the 3rd, 5:10 until 6 p.m., and then it will replay next Friday, 8:10 until 9 p.m. That is my interview with the Marion Prison Choir. Now, we will give you a little preview of that today at 12:15 on the Exchange Club with Charlie and Marge. Going to give you a little peek into what you will be hearing next Friday. So that also coming up today at 12:15. Now, that's our housekeeping. We are on to our first guest today. He's been on this program one time before when Gallagher was here, but today we'll have a little more in-depth conversation. He has been seen on several programs such as Love Connection, Kevin Can Wait, and Gotham. He is a working actor in New York, and he's from LaRue, Ohio. It's a pleasure to welcome to these microphones for the second time, Billy Peck. Billy, how are things in New York?
Wonderful, Scott. Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. I'm glad we finally get the chance to really get in depth here on your personal story of how you came from LaRue, Ohio to New York.
Well, wonderful. Well, first of all, I appreciate the opportunity to kind of, how do I say, have a little bit more of an intimate coffee chat. It's going to be fun. But, you know, thank you very much, and I'm actually really excited to tune into your interview with the inmates there at Marion Correctional Facility. You know, I believe that kind of second chances are important. So it should be a really great interview to listen to.
Well, I appreciate that. It was an experience, to be sure. Billy, LaRue, Ohio, mm-hmm. Tell me about your childhood.
Well, I grew up in LaRue, Ohio, a very small town, as you guys know. I think the population right now is around 400 people. I grew up in the cornfields with the horses and the chickens and the cows and all those sorts of things, and you know, I was very close with my mother growing up, but there was always just something where I said, you know, I think there is something different out there for me, and obviously that has come true in adulthood. But you know, I had that very typical American upbringing, and was close with my grandparents, and I still love apple pie and meatloaf and all those kind of things. And I know that sounds silly to some, but it's something that I really, when I do get to come back to where I'm from, I look forward to kind of the small town mentality, the food, and there's just a different attitude when you grow up in a small town, you know?
I think you're right. When you were growing up, when did the thought first enter your mind, I want to be an actor?
Well, I don't know if that thought ever materialized until later, but certainly, and I hope that my teachers back up the story, but certainly I seem to show a talent, at least musically. So I would act in school plays and school musicals, and, you know, there are a lot of people that do that. But I think it was very close to the end of my senior year, or maybe my junior year, I'm getting old now, where I think I was running track, and at that moment I was like, why am I running around in a circle right now? I mean, I'm meant to be an actor, I'm meant to go to New York. And it really kind of clicked, I would say, at the end of high school.
You know, a lot of people, even on into college, really don't know what they want to be. When you say it clicked, why did it click? What was it about acting?
You know, here's the thing. I'm not ashamed to say that I'm a sensitive guy, and people view acting in different ways, and I think it's indicative of their level of commitment to it. But the actor's job truly is to portray human life and human emotion. And I think anybody that has an interest in psychology or the way that human beings interact with one another would find it interesting as well. But I think there's something so interesting about being able to kind of step in and be a different person and to play heartbreak or to play anger or rage or elation, joy, these beautiful moments. And the thing about acting, what's interesting is, you know, people will say that acting is an imitation of reality, but it's actually a living, breathing interpretation of reality. And it's a beautiful moment when you can really step in there and truly feel something that another human being is feeling, you know? And it's nice to kind of escape yourself for a little while, deal with somebody else's problems instead of your own. It's a beautiful thing.
You know, it's interesting because I think it's Moss Hart's book, Act One, where he makes the point that all actors are in some way withdrawn and may have had a shy childhood, not a bad childhood, but just not big personalities. And that's what acting gives to them. They can go be somebody else.
Okay. Well, I guess my comment on that would be, I don't know if I necessarily agree. I think I know where he's coming from. I will tell you, there are a lot of actors that I have met that are incredibly shy. Robert De Niro very much keeps to himself. Chris Rock is incredibly shy. And I think for some of those people, film and TV, like those kind of mediums are better for them because they can go in, they can do their work, and live and breathe in that way, and they don't have to go out on Broadway and perform for 5,000 actors, you know, or 5,000 people. But certainly, I would understand the point. Now, I'll tell you, for me, I don't think I was ever a shy child, but I was a definitely a very sensitive child. So I think it was a natural outlet for me to be able to you know, portray some of those emotions that were confusing for me as a young man and a young boy. So it was definitely a positive outlet for me.
You know, we hear a lot of these great talk show hosts like Johnny Carson and David Letterman, who were great in front of thousands of people, millions of people, but didn't like to go to parties, were not good in small groups. Are you good at parties? Do you like to go be around people?
I guess that's interesting because I would at least personally say that I'm not. You know, not that anything I ever do is fake or a facade or some kind of character I put on, but I feel very comfortable being, you know, 5,000 people is nothing. But sometimes when you're in a party and, you know, then there's those layers of like, is this a party where everybody's nice or is this a pretentious party? I typically avoid that kind of party, loungy scenario, and I tend to stick with a very small core group of friends, and, you know, there's nothing like throwing back a couple beers with your buddies, you know, people that you trust and people that you know, people that can be yourself around. I will say that part of my growth, not only as an actor, but as a human being, has been to kind of filter out what is not real, what is fraudulent, what is fake, and to be able to say, you know, I'm not going to stand here and act like I appreciate this art or this music that I don't appreciate. I'd rather sit and have a good time with my buddies and live that way. I think part of growing up is living honestly and no longer feeling the need to present yourself as something you're not.
When you say you were a sensitive child and are a sensitive person, how do you define that?
I think I have a lot of empathy in my heart, if I were to say that. little fun story. So I grew up with essentially a single mother for the first part of my life, and it's made us incredibly close. But I think there's something to be said about being raised by a woman almost exclusively. And I think it's made me appreciate things that are more delicate and more, as society would define them. I don't think it's correct, but as society would define them as feminine. And I think it's made me more sensitive to other people's issues, because we have this kind of idea in society that men are, they're large and they're boisterous and they're, they have hubris. And I think that with the way my mother raised me, it allowed me to be sensitive and understanding and empathetic and compassionate. So, and I think that has done nothing but make me a better actor and give me a different level of depth in my work that maybe some people are not able to reach into.
I think there might be a lot of people listening right now, kids, students, children, high school, college age people, who might have the dream of acting. How do you get from Marion or LaRue or Caledonia or Ohio in general to New York? How did you make that leap?
Well, Ohio is interesting because it's not a very large market for film or TV or even theater. You can do regional production, sure. But actually, Ohio has, at least in Cincinnati and in Columbus, they have a very large commercial sector. So a lot of the insurance companies and a lot of major brands are actually headquartered in Ohio. So a lot of commercials are done in Ohio, but that's an aside. That's a side point. So what I would say is, first, you have to kind of fine-tune your craft. You got to do your plays. You got to act in any situation you can, and I know there's not a lot of opportunity. But then what you have to do is you've got to start spreading out. You got to look to Cincinnati. You got to look to Chicago. For me personally, what allowed me to really make that jump was I started going to talent showcases where agents and managers and other people in the industry could see the package of what I was at that time in my life. And I started doing that when I was about 16 years old. And to be honest, some of the agents I work with to this day were met when I was 16. So I've now known them for 8-9 years. So that's what you have to do. With all due respect to Ohio, and I have great love for Ohio, but if you want to be a performer, you got to go to a larger market where there are more opportunities, where there are more fish fighting, if you know what I mean. So for me, went to talent showcases, met with people. I was lucky enough to be awarded the first ever full ride scholarship to the New York Film Academy for a talent-based scholarship by the Shakespeare kind of aficionado, David Vando, and I'm close to him to this day. He's a mentor of mine, and I do have to say, I grew up in Ohio, and I can't say that I grew up with a ton of money, so for him to trust in me in that way, to give me such a large scholarship, talent-based, before I had even graduated high school, because I was a junior at that time in high school, I don't know if I would have made it to New York without him. So I guess that's a point to make that, people can say they're self-made, but I think that all of us have been given lovely opportunities by other human beings, and we have to be appreciative of those things.
I think you're right, and I think a lot of people who, New York in particular, but Chicago this could be said of as well, even if your school is paid for, the cost of living is very high.
Well, that wasn't easy either. I mean, I lived in my school's housing for about 6 months, and my rent per month was $1,750 for a shoebox for 6 months, and you can do that math, that's a lot of money. It's, I don't know, about $9,000. And then finally, obviously, I found my own place in my own apartment. I still have that apartment now. And I love it. You know, I love where I live now, but the cost of living is just different. You know, where a loaf of bread is, $1.10 for Wonder Bread in Ohio or $2 for a normal loaf, it's about $5 or $6 here in New York. So even normal items are inflated to, you know, when I first moved, it was why is this milk $8? You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that would be a culture shock to most people who have not been in those areas. When you went to New York, at some point you obviously have to get work, so you have to be good at what you do. What do you think makes you a good actor?
What do I think makes me a good actor? If I were to take all pretension and humility aside, I think what makes me a good actor, and certainly I think makes me stand out, is this. My mentality when I go into an audition room, and there's 50 other people standing there, and if someone were to say, why would I pick you? I would say, you know, I cannot guarantee that I'm the best looking guy in this room. I can't guarantee that I am the most naturally talented. But I do guarantee that there is not a person in this room that has the capacity or the will to outwork me. I have a sickening work ethic. Whereas if someone's willing to put 2 hours of work in, I'm willing to put in 10. Now, I do think that I back that up with a fair amount of talent, and I'm a very good networker, if you know what that means. I'm good with people in that way, in the business way. You know, and people often miss parts, and it should be true in any business, but within the acting business, I know so many people that are very talented, but they don't know how to talk to people in a business sense, so they either get paid way less than they're worth, or they don't get the opportunities. Or in the same way, they're very talented, but they're very lazy, and they don't know, you know, they don't have the work ethic. But I've also seen people who may not be as naturally talented that are incredible business minds and that have incredible work ethics. And I'm going to tell you, it's those people that make it. And for me, I would think that I can combine all three, and I think that allows me to be pretty good at what I do. And I'm not ashamed to say that I'm a notch above average there.
No problem saying that. When you go on an audition, what is that process like?
Well, it depends on what the audition's for. If you're going in for film and TV, you probably have a time slot that's specific for you. So they're really taking a look at you. So you go in, you sign in with the monitor. You go in, you say, hi, my name is Billy Peck. I'm with BMG, and what's up, guys? You know, and sometimes you have sides that are prepared from the project that you're reading for. Sometimes they have you prepare a monologue. And those are, quite honestly, the auditions I prefer, because I can stand in front of a director or a casting director and really make that personable connection. You know, Scott, I look pretty good on paper acting-wise, but my real talent is when I get in the room. And there are certain things that you can't see on paper. You can't feel energy. You can't feel vibes. You can't feel someone's heart. You know, but if you go to a large cattle call audition where there's 300 people and your agent has sent you in to, you know, audition to be the face of a, you know, a water brand like Fiji or Poland Spring, you know, to do like a print ad, those can be exhaustive. You go in. They'll have you take your shirt off for no reason. You know, it depends on what the audition's for, you know?
It's a very interesting process. And, when it comes to the career, what is the part that you have went up for that you got, that you were so excited to get?
That's really tough, because I'm always excited to work. I really am, and I can't say that one part has really stuck out more than anything. But I will tell you that I am continually thankful to be involved with the Fox series Gotham. We're headed into our final season. The final season will be consisted of 10 episodes. I have played Strike Force on the show for about 3.5 seasons, 4.5 after this season's done, and I've kind of been bumped up to be the Strike Force captain. It's been an incredible experience to just be on the set with Ben McKenzie and Jada Pinkett Smith, who's Will Smith's wife. And I'm continually thankful for that, and I've booked a cup, couple of short films recently that I'm pretty excited about. I do have a big project that's airing next week on ABC. So, you know, a little plug here, shameless plug. I'd love if everybody could tune in to The Proposal on ABC, which is August 6th at 10 p.m., you know, so yours truly will be there, a lot of other great guys. The pageant-style dating show, it's really cheesy, really hokey, but I think it's a lot of fun. And it will be in prime time. It's going to be a big show, ABC, National Network, good stuff.
Now, The Proposal, I haven't seen this program, but is it kind of like Love Connection?
It is a little bit like Love Connection, and in fact, it's the same producer. So I don't know if you watched Love Connection, but I had a rather strong showing on that show. And as soon as I got back to New York from California, my phone was ringing, and they said, "Billy, that was amazing. How do we get you on another show?" And I said, "Well, what's the number on the check, you know?" And that's not the only reason I do things, but, you know, I had a little bit of leverage there. But, yeah, it's very similar. Competing for the heart of, you know, this beautiful woman. So I guess you guys will have to tune in if you want to see what happens.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. When you go into a situation like that, Love Connection or The Proposal, because it is somewhat of a competition, what is your mindset to win? Because I assume you want to be the guy who's chosen.
Sure, but in the idea of The Proposal, the person that wins has to propose to a person they've never met before.
Oh.
So it's very interesting in that way. But I am an extremely competitive person in my life. I like to win, and I like to win not at any cost, but I do my work to make sure I win quite often. But in a situation like that where it comes down to a person's tastes and what that person's interested in, I just try to understand that, you know, I have a lot to offer. I think I can do great things in the world, and if that's not for that person, then that really has nothing to do with me. That's a them problem. That's a me problem, you know. But I go in there with a level head and understanding that anything could happen. Just try to keep a level head. You know, make sure that everything I'm saying is appropriate and won't be taken out of context. You know, because you know how those shows are.
You know, this is interesting because the winner has to propose to the person. Mm-hmm. And you are competitive. Now, we don't know what happens. Well, you do, but we don't. We'll watch and find out what happens. If you had won, or maybe you did, you'd be getting married? Is that the idea?
Well, I think certainly that anything can happen, Scott. But more so my thing is, you know, on a personal level, I'm not opposed to settling down whatsoever. And if even in a crazy, crazy experience like that, if the right person came along, I wouldn't be opposed to it. But that is indeed the concept of the show. And, you know, you're going to have to watch to find out. But in theory, it definitely could have or will happen, you know.
That's interesting. I want to ask one more question about this without asking if it happened or not. How well did you get to know the girl before this proposal would happen for whoever did propose to her?
So here's the interesting thing about the program. So it's got an hour-long time slot in prime time. You do not see or meet this girl until 5 minutes before the show is over. So within an hour, you have to propose to a girl that you've chatted through a wall, but you haven't actually met until about 5 minutes until the show is completed. So, you know, it's a bit of a crazy experience. It's definitely a crazy platform, but, you know, it's shock and awe value, you know?
I guess. So the reality shows are, they do hire actors for these reality shows.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. Typically, they try to avoid actors because they don't want the idea that the show is completely made up. But I've been able to do these shows because I think people sense my sincerity of, one, finding someone that's a good match for me, but two, I am a working actor. It is my job. It's not a hobby. It's not just something I do on the weekends. It's my job. And I think people can kind of see that for me, it has been a legitimate career path, and I'm not just doing a dating show, you know, to boost my exposure. I mean, exposure is great, but I'm not just doing this so I can get some TV time, because quite frankly, I'm on TV all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I'm with you. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I think the last time you were on, it was right after Love Connection, and you had said you were dating a teacher at that time, I think is who it was. And I think, is it hard to have a personal life when you can work 10, 12, 16-hour days, you have to go to rehearsals, you may have to fly to a different state? Do you have to sacrifice the personal life?
There are sacrifices to be made. So, to your point of long days, I'm sitting here with a giant cup of coffee because I didn't finish work until 3 in the morning last night. So, when I woke up this morning, I was like, oh my goodness, I have this radio interview. But sometimes there are sacrifices to be made, and unfortunately for me, sometimes that comes in my personal life. Another thing that's really difficult besides the schedule and besides the craziness is, you know, I have had a fair share of you know, supermarket tabloid stories run about me. Some have been great. Some have not been great. So it's sometimes really hard for another human being to understand why people do these sorts of things. And it's not an easy thing to explain. And the best way to explain it is the simplest way. This is a part of my life. And then beyond that, you know, you always have this, you know, this co-star that someone thinks that you're having, you know, some kind of relationship with, and there's a lot of falsities that can be floated around, and it takes a really strong-headed person to kind of be the partner of someone who's chosen this career path. So, and obviously that's seen when you look at the biggest of Hollywood stars. That's seen why their marriages don't last, and why their relationships are frivolous and sometimes a little rocky. You know,
when something is written about you that's not true or that is negative, I mean, obviously you don't like it, but do you have to say at some point, I'm in the public domain and I have to just accept this?
Well, I think that's an interesting question, and there's two things that I want to say. So, first of all, when something negative is written about me, of course I don't like it, but I do have to say that this is not something unexpected. And it is certainly not something that, like, is going to break me in any way, but it's part of that life. But one thing I do want to make very clear, and I think it's a very important point to make, is that whether it's me or LeBron James or Tom Cruise or a model or, you know, anybody else, nobody asks for this. And I think some people, you'll see people say that all the time. Well, you know, they're an actor. They asked for this. They knew what was going to happen. No, nobody asks to have awful, untrue, mean things written about them. And I think as a society that we have to be better about that, of understanding, okay, even though they're a famous basketball player or actor or supermodel, they are real people that at the end of the day, they have to read these things and they have to go to bed having read these things. And it's not fun. And, you know, people have this idea of, well, all press is good press. And that may be certainly true for the faction of that person that is the performer or the artist or the athlete. But as a human being, it hurts. You know, I can say that there have certainly been things written about me that hurt me. So, you know, I think we have to be better as human beings about that.
Yeah, for those of us who, I mean, we, I guess, would not believe what we read, I hope not, in a tabloid. What is something that was written that just, you know, you were really not happy with?
Well, I had a big press fiasco. It was actually very large. It made me quite famous for a little while. In a small magazine called Time Out New York, and I had went on a blind date with this girl, and it just wasn't a romantic connection. She was very nice, very sweet, very kind. And then, you know, I gave the interview the next day and kind of relayed those feelings of, hey, she's great, but she's just not my person. And I think we've all been on dates where it's like, hey, this is an amazing person, but they're not my person. And then I woke up next week in a media firestorm where it had been transformed into this, you know, she didn't have the goods and just things that were very out of character for me, things that wouldn't be said by me. And I got to give them their credit. My family, my close friends, my people, my industry people, they very clearly knew that something had transpired to where my words had been changed. But that doesn't stop the other hundreds of millions of people in America from you know, reposting this tabloid article. And it got picked up by People Magazine and TMZ and Sports Illustrated. It was a very large story. And as you can imagine, it was very hurtful to be portrayed in a way that is not indicative of the person I am or the man I am and that I would like to continue growing into. So yes, it happens. It's not fun. And I would just caution people, you know, even in this crazy political time we live in, I would caution people before they share things that they weren't there for, that they don't know the source. And, you know, check your sources. Do a little research, because oftentimes when you look just below the surface, you'll find information that probably doesn't support what's being said or what's being written.
You know, that's a good rule, and it's a good rule even locally, because that even happens in local markets. It's unbelievable sometimes.
I absolutely agree.
You mentioned Robert De Niro earlier on. Who is the person you have been starstruck by?
You know, I don't really get starstruck. I've kind of adopted, it's cool. It's cool for sure, and if I said it wasn't, I'd be lying. But I've kind of adopted this idea of these are my peers, and if I truly want to be a working actor and someday a very established actor, not that I'm not now, I'm doing my work, but if someday I want to be on that level, then I can't idolize these people. I have to look at them as peers. But I will tell you, I've met Angelina Jolie 4 times. I've met Robert De Niro. I've met Al Pacino, Katie Holmes. So, and I could go on and on and on and on all day with people I've met. But, you know, it's just really interesting to see these people live in the flesh that you've grown up watching. I'll tell you, I did a personal scene with Kevin James on Kevin Can Wait, and I remember growing up watching King of Queens with my grandfather, and it was just unreal, and I wasn't starstruck, but it was unreal, the nostalgia that came back to say, I used to watch this man with my grandfather growing up, and now I'm doing a scene with him. You know, that's an emotion I wish I could portray better, but it was an incredible feeling.
It's a great
I will tell you, if there was one person I'd be starstruck by, it'd probably be Tom Cruise. You know, say what you will about the man, but that's probably the career path that I would take given my look and my physical build and kind of my abilities. We would probably follow a similar path.
That being said, if you could write the rest of the career right now, what would you like to do? Where would you like to be?
Well, I have a particular love for biopics. I think I would love to do an incredibly well-made biopic of Napoleon Bonaparte, obviously Emperor of France, and I'd love to do a better one than Alexander. Alexander is a movie about Alexander the Great, but I'd like to do another biopic on Alexander. I'd love to host Saturday Night Live a couple times. I'd love to voice a major Disney character, work with Alan Menken, and have a couple Academy Awards on my shelf. You know, that's where I'm aiming for the top end, you know.
Shoot high. I think that's great. And one thing I want to do in the last 15 minutes we have here, because you're in the entertainment industry, I want to talk a little bit about the entertainment industry, because last night,
sure,
Roseanne gave her first interview since being pulled from her show, and she gave it to Sean Hannity on Fox. And basically, the gist of the interview was, she's not a racist. It was a political statement she made. And she ended by saying, I voted for Donald Trump, and that's not allowed in Hollywood. And she says that's why she was pulled off her show. What's your read on that?
Well, I was unaware of this interview with Sean Hannity, but I'm going to tell you immediately before we even go into this, I have strong feelings about this. So, first of all, I think that in today's political society, on both sides, both sides. Let me say it very clear, both sides. People have this tendency to groupthink, you know, like there's one side and then there's another and there's no middle ground. And I think that's a very silly way to think. When Roseanne says that it is not allowed to vote for Donald Trump in Hollywood, I think that that's inaccurate, and I'll tell you why. So first of all, there are well-known actors that are Republicans. Secondly, I think that the reason that the majority of actors fall to the more Democratic side of the political spectrum are because they're progressives. And I cannot stand this term liberal. I don't think it applies to me whatsoever. I like the term Democrat, but meaning that we're all about people of diversity. We're all about people of different sexualities and different genders and that come from different places and different cultures, of different races, of different creeds. And I think that's why those people fall to that side and they have a dislike of Donald Trump. Now, to be very specific about Roseanne, she was pulled off of her show because she made racist comments. And it cannot be any more clear than that. First of all, ABC is owned by Disney. They have a brand to protect. You know, they have, you cannot be saying this. And some of the crazy statements that were made after she made, oh, I was night tweeting and I was on Ambien, to the point where the drug manufacturer of Ambien had to come out and say, racism is not a side effect of our drug. Like, don't put this on us. She made a very stupid mistake. And while I 100% believe in second chances, she has to face the consequences of what she did. And so does everybody else on both sides. You cannot say these things. In 2018, it's absolutely unacceptable to be bullying someone based on their race or their sexuality, and never to parlay into anything else, and please take it back on track if you want. But I saw a video the other day of a man just trying to go to the movies in Marion, Ohio. And he was being called a racial slur. It's unacceptable. And if people think in any way that that's freedom of speech, it's not. It's racism, and it's not okay. And ran on that one.
Well, I'm just going to give you the counterpoint on this. The counterpoint would be that freedom of speech is what we have. Freedom of the press is what we have. And it's not there to protect popular speech, because popular speech doesn't need protecting.
Absolutely. And I know exactly where you're going to go with this, Scott. Like, I understand what the apples and oranges of freedom of speech is. I'm not saying that someone doesn't have a right to say racist things. I'm not saying that someone doesn't have a right to be a cruel person. What I am saying is that everybody else has the right to criticize that person, and that these people that say these things are not immune to the consequences of their actions, especially when it's coming from private organizations. Disney and ABC can fire someone for no reason whatsoever if they want. What people have to understand is freedom of speech is one thing, but you are not free from consequences for being hateful, for being asinine, and for being immature.
I think that's a good point. I think that's a very good point. And it's an interesting segue, which is into something else, because you have stayed active in the Marion community. You visited not too long ago. We're at one of the elementary schools here, Taft. And you also have weighed in on Facebook on one of our soon-to-be mayoral candidates. And said some interesting things. I'll give you the floor on this one, on what you would like to say, your freedom of speech on this particular issue.
Wonderful. So I'd be curious to what you found interesting as far as what I said, and I only weighed in one time. But here's my point. Marion County is near and dear to my heart, and I want to see it succeed. And I think that people have this miscalculation of some things in Marion County, specifically of the drug problem. Yes, there is a drug problem in Marion County, and it would be wrong to say anything else, but it's very much a national issue. And for people to use that as a political standpoint of, wow, this this person isn't doing anything about this national issue that they really have, you know, very little control and scope on is, I think, wrong. So to move into my real point is, Scott Scherzer, the incumbent, was not only a teacher of mine growing up, but he has been someone that I have consistently stayed in touch with, that I have been, I have found to be a very sound mind and of sound morality. And I think he's the best man for the job, and I wholeheartedly endorse for him to not only stay as mayor, but to continue to lead Marion in the way that I think he is. I have to tell you, I am all for fresh ideas. I'm all about new blood and going out there and making changes. But we have to look at things and say, are they the right changes? Now, to be very specific, because I know you're referring to the mayoral candidate, Edward McCants, who was a superstar basketball player in college and all sorts of things, I wish him the very best of luck in his race, and I hope he will continue to do what's best for him and what's best for the community. And should he be the candidate that Marion sees their future with, I will support him wholeheartedly. But my endorsement is and shall remain with Mr. Scott Scherzer.
When I say interesting about that comment, I thought it was interesting that you had done an endorsement, because I don't remember that in past elections. Now, I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So what brought you this time, this early, more than a year away from the election, out to make this endorsement?
Well, I was seeing several Facebook posts and articles online that I thought had a little bit of a negative spin towards the current mayor. But I thought it was unfair. And if we want to talk apples and oranges very specifically, you know, if a candidate for mayor would like to criticize the current mayor, I think at the very least they could do their due diligence and actually become a candidate for mayor first, because as far as I'm aware, the paperwork has not been filed, you know, and it seems like a large amount of kind of hubbub and for nothing at this point. You know, if you'd like to run for mayor, then you have to file your paperwork. But I did an endorsement because I wholeheartedly believe in this person, and I know their family, and I think Marion needs a strong moral leader more than anything. And that's why I did that endorsement. And I think Scott Scherzer is a wonderful individual.
And did it have anything in particular to do with the other candidate who's announced? The Republicans haven't let us know who their candidate is going to be. I assume there will be one. But at this point, my understanding is that Ed McCants will run in the Democratic primary against Mayor Scherzer.
Well, I could certainly say that it didn't have to do with anything with him personally. I don't know the man. I don't know him well. It's more so a situation of, how do I say, I know what Scott Scherzer is capable of. I know his strong leadership qualities, and I think that's the correct future going forward for Marion. It has nothing to do with Edward McCants, and as I've stated before in this interview, I wish him the very best of luck, and if indeed he is the person that Marion decides to go forward with, then he will have my support. I would caution to this tale. I work in the public eye. That's part of my life. I want to make sure people know that just because someone has a certain level of fame, or notoriety, or infamy, or anything of that sort, it does not necessarily translate into strong leadership skill. And let me be clear, I think that's an issue that we're seeing on the national level. Just because someone is boisterous and points fingers and this and this and this and this and this, it does not mean that they are a sound leader. And I'm not even advocating for me to be in politics someday, you know? What I'm saying is I think we need to go with someone who is soft-spoken, who has done the job before, who has a strong track record, And that is why that endorsement is made and will continue to be made.
What do you think, with the last 3 minutes here, what do you think it is in society today that we are tending not to be going, not going with those people? President Trump won the election. In New York, Governor Cynthia Nixon is running for governor, Sex in the City. I don't know that she has any political background. It's very interesting.
So I think in this country, people are a little tired of the status quo. You know, they're tired of the run-of-the-mill, every day is the same kind of thing, and for good reason, because there are issues that we need to fix both locally, in the state of Ohio, and then nationally. And I think it's exciting to put someone out there that's a little unpredictable, and it's cool, and it's like, what's going to happen? But I think that's a bad path for us. If we look at Andrew Cuomo, who's the governor of New York, he's one of the most progressive and democratic governors there is. You know, he's sending people to Puerto Rico that is still in parts without power and without water. This is a good politician that instead we would rather, you know, put up an actress against. When we talk about Cynthia Nixon specifically, there's a very clear reason that she wouldn't get my support. Is she wants to end the tax credits in New York that give tax credits to film and product and television production to film there, which would essentially very badly damage the film industry in New York, and productions would go back to L.A., and they would go back to, you know, New Orleans right now, which has got a large kind of filming industry down there. And what's very sad about that is when she was on Sex in the City, it's benefited Bea Nixon in a way that allowed her show to be successful.
Billy, so, go ahead.
You know, I think that we have to really look at our leaders as moral, and we need to look at them as, are they capable of leading us into the future, or is this a flash in the pan kind of thing where we're trying to just get a little bit of an excitement?
With 60 seconds left, I want to bring it back to this. Because of, you know, tabloid things and being an actor and being in New York and being on television series, just to clear it up for people here in Ohio and maybe beyond who are listening to this, what do you think's the biggest misconception about you?
About me as an actor?
As a person.
I think that people think that I'm a bit pretentious, that I don't care about my fellow human beings, and I think that could not be any farther from the truth. I care very deeply for people from my hometown, for people that are different than me, and I think, just to wrap it all up, we as human beings have got to start loving one another. We have far more things in common than we're ever going to have differences, and I want people to know that that's something that I noticed, that I'm going to continue to do my part to make the world a better place. And you know what, Scott? I really appreciate your time today, and I hope if anybody would like to reach out to me to comment on this or any of my political beliefs or me as an actor, I hope they will feel free to do that, but thank you for the interview, Scott. It's been amazing.
Billy, I appreciate it. I hope you come back in the future, and people can see Billy Peck from LaRue, Ohio, next week on The Proposal on a network whose initials are ABC. Find
amazing.
That. Don't miss that. Thank you, Billy.
All right. Bye, Scott.
Bye-bye. Billy Peck, Talk of the Town with Marge Hazlett in about 10 minutes. Stay tuned.
Hope in your life. God bless you. Have a good evening.
Dinosaurs.